జయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి హరశీల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం నిత్రీలా ప్రవిష్ణం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షీల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోపు గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయాపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయకి యమునమాయకి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ శ్రీశీల ప్రభుపాద నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ బుధరే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాన్ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవహి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయ నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవాం భవే భవే యదా శక్తి అధయోర్స్తవ జాయదే తథా కురుష దేవేశ నాదస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయా ఇతరతస్ అర్థేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదాయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయం జౌవారి మృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైతవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యనేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభీ తక్షణాన్ నిగమగల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాతమృద్రవ సంయుతం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసిగా భువి భావుకాహం సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమ యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొనిదాదృదానందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురీం న కణికాపి కాపి కాపి నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశతారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమ పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజితచక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందర మందహాసం వాతాళయేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురతో మమ. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. సో ఏకాదశ స్కందం, ది అస్ ఐ మెన్షన్ సో మెనీ టైమ్స్ బిఫోర్, టైమ్ ఈజ్ టూ షార్ట్ అండ్ ద మెసేజ్ ఈజ్ వెరీ హెవీ ఇన్ ది శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం. సో మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ థింగ్ ఈజ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ఏకాదశం అండ్ టు టేక్ ఇట్ ఇన్ టు లైఫ్, అదర్వైజ్ all our effort is waste of time, isn't it? So Krishna is saying to Uddhava, in this human form of life, labdhva sudurlabham idam, it's a very very rare opportunity, bahu sambhavande, many things happen in this life, after many many lifetimes we have got to this human form, manushyam, the human body, arthadam anityam abeha dhiraha, that it is temporary, and also only one who has dhira. Remember the word dhira? Dhira means what? What does the word dhira means? We will translate into English as sober. Actually, the word means something more than that, just the word sober. I remember I discussed this in the Bhagavad Gita classes. Dhira means one who has got the opportunity of human life and he has utilized it properly. He is dhira. Krishna considers him as dhira. So, manushyam arthadam anityam apiha dhiraha turnam padet na padet anumurtiyaval. Turnam medet na padet anumurtiyaval. That body will drop one day. Recognizing that, turnam medet na padet anumurtiyaval. Before that, Krishna says, if you can do something with this body, body will not go with us. Body we have to leave here. And when people say about death, there is no need to feel that death is something to be so frightened about it. Because Bhagavatam is not teaching us to get frightened of death. If that is the goal, to get frightened more about death, then it is no meaning. But Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us not to get frightened of death, because through the Parikshit's example, he came also with the same fear of death to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. But when he left, what was he saying? He was saying, Siddhosmi, Anugrahidosmi. He says to Sudeva Goswami that I feel so happy. Why? Because I understood there is no such thing called death. This is self-realization. We should be able to say the same thing before we leave our body. That is the success of our Srimad Bhagavatam, that before we leave this body we should be able to say that death is not frightening anymore, because the thing death is for the body, not for the soul. So self-realization means that nishreyasai vishayakhalu sarvatasyal, that the highest shreyas is, Krishna is saying here, is this. And to get to that point, Krishna is speaking all these 26 chapters, 1036 verses in the Ekadasha Skandam is only to get this point across to us, that there is no such thing called death. It is ignorance in us that is establishing this point that we are experiencing death. And we get so frightened about it, isn't it? Thing called death, 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 everybody talks about it. But when we understand Krishna consciousness properly, then we see that there is no such thing called death. There is no such thing called death. Shri Bhagavanu Vacham Sattvam Rajastamayidi Gunabuddherna Chalpana Sattvena Anyatama Uhanyal Sattvam Sattvena Chaivahi Sattva Dharmo Bhavel Vruddhal Pumsomal Bhakti Lakshanaha Sattvigo Vasaya Sattvam Tato Dharma Pravartade ధర్మోరజస్తమోహన్యాల్ సత్వవృద్ధిరనుత్తమాః ఆశునశ్యతి తన్మూలం అధర్మ ఉభయే హతే. ఆగమోపప్రజాదేశ కాలకర్మజ జన్మజ ధ్యానం మంత్రోద సంస్కారం దశైదే గుణహేతవాహ తత్వల్ సాత్వికమే వైషాం యద్యల్ వృద్ధా ప్రచక్షదే నిందంది తామసం సత్వల్ రాజసం తదుపేక్షితం సాత్వికాన్యేవ సేవేద పుమాన్ సత్వవివర్ధయే తథో ధర్మస్తథో యజ్ఞానం యావల్ స్మృతిరపోహనం వేణు సంఘర్షజో వన్యర్దగ్ధ్వా శామ్యది తద్వనం ఏవం గుణం వ్యత్యేజో దేహ శామ్యది తల్క్రియాః. కృష్ణ స్పోక్ దీస్ వర్సెస్ టు ఉద్ధవ. Uddhava heard that, and then we talked about what happened, the reaction from Uddhava. What was reaction from Uddhava? That was the next one verse which we were discussing last Sunday.
Vidandi martya prayena vishayan padama padam tadabi bunjade krishna talkadam shokharajavad.
This is the verse we were discussing, wasn't it? So Uddhava is saying to Krishna that everybody knows that it is dangerous. What is that danger? The sense gratification. Still, like dogs, like donkeys, and like goats, how come they get beaten all the time but still go after that again and again? This was Uddhava's question to Krishna. Very sensible question, isn't it?
Vidandi martya prayena vishayan padamabadam.
There is danger at every step. Padamabadam.
Tadabata means danger. Tadami bhunjade krishna talkadam shukharajavad.
How come they keep on doing the same thing and unable to come out of it? So we were talking about it. We mentioned that the human body, what we have, is that when we get this body, which is with all its animalistic nature, which has come with us from various bodies, those bodies have given us certain vasanas in us, isn't it? That is the animal vasanas. And they are following us, and they are not leaving us. Plus, added to that, when we add our own intelligence, what also Krishna has given, it becomes worse. So in other words, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, Sattogunam, they are qualities of the intelligence. Later on Krishna will mention that. Krishna says there, isn't it? I think it was in the last chapter also Krishna mentioned that these three things that, in the first verse itself Krishna mentioned in this chapter 13th, Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, Iti Guna, Buddhe, Naja, Atmana. It is only belongs to buddhi, intelligence, not to almana. So, the the vasanas that is inside us, added to that, we have got these three modes of nature in our intelligence. Combined together, we have become a very complex object. Who? The human body. It's become a very complex object. Because if the intelligence is controlled by Rajogunam and Tamogunam, what will happen is that all kinds of these animalistic propensities will come out very easily from us. We will use our intelligence for that. Animalistic propensities. This is what we were discussing. We mentioned that also. That when the modes of passion and ignorance increases in the society, automatically there will be more quarrels, fighting and arguments and shouting, not able to work with each other, all disagreements and everything, and it leads into destruction. It leads into destruction. Not only that, the worst thing that, although we know that sense objects are going to create misery for us later, we'll keep on glorifying them, sense enjoyment. We'll keep on glorifying them. Our external life is all that only, nothing else. Our external life is nothing but glorifying this sense enjoyment in this world. That's what's happening all the time, isn't it? That not only that, our education is also, if you take it all together, is nothing but this, how to glorify sense gratification. If you think about it, you can see that that whole education what supplied by the schools and colleges and universities, everything,
is only this one thing, how to glorify sense gratification, how to do it in a big scale. And trying to get some pleasure out of that. Why? Because Krishna is saying, when Rajogunam and Tamogunam is predominating the intelligence, Satvam Rajas Tamasiti Guna Buddher Na Chatmana, soul has nothing to do with it. It is coming from this intelligence. So this happens, and the only thing what goes on in this world is nothing but constantly glorifying sense enjoyment, Vishaya Sukham. Constantly glorifying sense enjoyment. There is nothing else in this world happening. If we think we are doing big, big things in this world, it's only in essence, this is what is going on. This is what is going on. So, our education also in the same way, isn't it? Our education is also in the same way. How much money has he made in life? This is the first way to look at a person. To look at a person is how much is he worth? And very shamefully putting this through the newspaper, how much worth I am. This is the animalistic nature. This is animal's consciousness. To say someone that I am worth so much. You are worth the five material elements what you are made of. Earth, water, air, ether and fire. If you ask Pingala what she said, all the urine, stool, pus, blood, everything, that's what I am worth. As far as Pingala is concerned. So, Prahlada also said the same thing. So, intelligent, spiritually advanced people, they do not look at our own worth all the time in respect to the body. With respect to the body. Because of this, what has happened? Sorry, if you could move forward, please, a little bit. So, what has happened is that how much money we have made in life is the basis on which you are judging people. You are judging people on that basis. And this has come to the spiritual world also. Modern spiritual world also is influenced by that. Isn't it? And that's why often you will see reports about some sannyasis have taken so much money and left the ashram. If a sannyasi has stolen some knowledge, nobody will complain about it. He has taken left the ashram with a lot of spiritual knowledge. Nobody will say one word about it. But if the sannyasi leaves with, say, £1 million or something, then the whole country gets upset, the newspapers report, or the... So what does it mean? It means that knowledge has no value. Value is for the money. So what to do? This is the situation in the world. This is that Rajogunam Krishna is talking about. We'll see that later. This chapter, particularly 13th chapter, more you go in depth and analyze it, you can see all the foolishness of the modern world or the foolishness of us also in that side. And also Krishna says to us that unless you come out of it, you won't understand anything what I am talking about. Krishna himself says that. That unless we come out of all these falsities in life and come to some real sensible state of that, Krishna calls it as the mode of goodness, isn't it? Sattugunam. Only in Sattugunam, only in a peculiar plane, all this knowledge will have some impact on us. Otherwise, not. So, so this money has become such a big thing that we are thinking about that and we are planning all the time how to make it more through various sources. What will you help at the end? You have to go from here. Material body, you have to leave this one day. And for that purpose, argue each other, fight each other, quarrel each other, killing each other, take the stick and beat up each other. And this is what the modern world is all about, isn't it? What is the reason behind it? Why does that happen? Because the animal vasanas have followed us. Animal vasanas have followed us. That's all it is. Pashwadibi, Ajari Swami says, Pashwadibi avasheshadaha. Only what is left is the animal in us, nothing else. Nothing else has gone in. He says here, most of our activities are concerned, for human society is not much different than the animals. Much different than the animals. He mentions this in the Brahma Sutram commentary like this. He says there, Yadha dandodhegaram purusham abhimukhyam ubalabhyaha mam handum ayam icchadidi palayidam arabhate. Harida Tranapurna Panim Upalabhyadam Pratyabhimukhi Bhavandi. Very interesting. He says here, this is all very simple example, but very easy to understand and very easy to realize also. He says here, Yada Dandodegaram Purusham Abhimukhyam Upalabhya. Dandodegaram means, if you take a stick in the hand, and go to a cow and want to beat the cow, as soon as you start approaching the cow with a raised stick in your hand, he thinks that you're coming to beat her. The cow will know that and therefore moves away. He goes away from there. Then what happens? Haridatrana purna vanim ubalabhyadam pratyamukhi bhavandi. If you take a bunch of grass in your hand and show it like this, he comes to you immediately. Like that. Isn't it? So the same, this is animal. Animal's nature is this. That you are discussing last Sunday also. It's the same thing. That the animal by nature is that if you show something to eat, it will come. If you take a stick, it will run. So if a human society also has the same nature in its dealings with this world, what should we call them? That is the question there. So there's nothing much to say. We are great personalities. There's nothing in this. That's why I'm saying all this VIP, GIP business, all waste of time, because that's in the Maya's world. You have to do all these kind of things. But strictly speaking, we have nothing to say that we have something better than the animals to offer when we have all these things in happening in our own life. Once in an ashram, what happened was somebody brought a lot of fruits in a basket. When he was bringing in the ashram, there were few sannyasis living together, and there was a head there who was staying in the ashram. So when the fruits were brought into the ashram, there were so many monkeys in the ashram. One of them jumped in and took one fruit and ran away. So before he could do anything, it escaped, as you know how the monkeys are. So this person brought the whole fruits into the ashram and took a huge stick. And meanwhile, a female monkey, which was pregnant, had come looking for a fruit. So he took the fruits inside, took into the, it was very nice fresh mangoes or something, and put it into the room, locked the room, and with the stick went to beat the monkey, female monkey, which was chasing him. And they are all sannyasis. So the head was watching this, what was going on. He came back and he said to all his junior sannyasis, he says to them, "We are all sannyasis, aren't we?" He says, "We are all the sannyasis." He says, "Open the door," he said. "Bring the fruits all outside." Brought it in outside, kept it. And he told that female monkey, "Come here, take what you want," he said. The female monkey came and took only one mango out of it. It was pregnant as well, you have to remember. And took one mango and left the place. Didn't touch any other mangoes. Only one he took it. And the sannyasis took everything and locked it up in the room, and we call sannyasis. He says to them that monkey, female monkey, she has darkened our face. She has put charcoal on our face. In other words, we should be ashamed. We should be ashamed of that. So this is spiritual life. That if somebody is accumulating more than what is necessary, and especially in sannyasi's case, if it is happening, we have to question that. Is this right? Because he says to them that they are the real sannyasis. Learn from them what is sannyasam means. Sannyasam jnana lakshanam. That is knowledge. That is realization. Otherwise, what sannyasam is this? So that was his point. So he gave this example, and when the female wanted, he showed she is a better sannyasi. She came and she took what she wanted and left. Didn't take a few more with her and run away with the fruits. Nothing. She came and took one what she wanted and left. So Ishavasim Idam Sarvam Yat Kinjat Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tektena Bunjida Magrada Kasusil Dhanam. The first verse in the Ishavanishad. That's what is telling us. This is a practical example of that. That's all it is. There's not much difference. Tena Tektena Bunjida Magrada Kasusil Dhanam. You remember the first verse in the Ishavanishad? It is telling us this incident. So he could have taken more. Sometimes when the animals do these things, we wonder, are they above us in spiritually? Are they not more advanced than us in that sense? Our education, what we have got today, what have we got? Depression, tension, anxiety, and confusion at the end. This is the education, isn't it? Why? Why is that this is happening? Because you don't see depression in an animal, do you? Do you see? Have you seen any animal getting depressed going for counseling or going to a psychiatrist or anything like that? They don't have depression, you know that. Huh? Animals don't get depressed. And have you seen any time a dog going to a bank for getting his check cash or pulling out the money from the wall like we do? Nothing like that. They don't do any such thing. But and also, have you seen any dog looking into a share market on the TV? Things like that. They don't do all those things. Why is that? Similarly, if it sees a golden chain on the street, will it run after that? A dog won't do all such things. So keeping anything for tomorrow and this intensive and excessive attachment to matter is only in the human society. So they don't have any tension. They will go somewhere and wag the tail and it will be they get their food. The food purpose is over. So, and same thing if you look at the birds, they all sleep very well in the night. They don't have any sleep problems, problems with their sleep. And morning when they wake up, therefore they are able to sing nicely and they fly off looking for their food for the day. They also have problems from the material nature. They will have problem from their enemies and that they may eat them and catch them and all that. That kind of problems are already there. But that's the only problem they have. Fear from the material existence, from the anxiety that the demons may get them and kill them. Otherwise, they live happily in this world than us. They live happily than us. So once you look at our mental problems, we are actually in serious trouble. So this is why Uddhava is asking this question. That in human life, in the creation, you don't find this problem except in the human society anywhere else. These problems of depression and tension and anxiety and illnesses like that. So Uddhava is asking, why did this happen to us? Why did this happen to us? And still we are glorifying the human race, saying that we are very high and Darwin has told us we are the perfection of the creation and all that. Shastram is not accepting that, that we are the perfection of creation. So So Krishna starts now replying that question from Uddhava. And Krishna's answer is very, on a much deeper level. Krishna is answering those questions. Let's look at that. Next four verses. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Ahamitanyada Buddhi Pramattasya Yadahridi Ulsarpadi Rajo Ghoram Tato Vaikari Gammana Rajo Yuktasya Manasa Sangalpasya Vikalpaka Tadakamo Gunadhyanal Dusahasya Didurmate Karodi Kama Vashaga Karmanya Vijidendriya Dukho Darkani Sampashyan Rajo Vega Vimohidaha Rajastamo Bhyam Yadabi Vidwan Vikshipta Dhipuna Atandrido Mano Yunjan Doshadrashtirna Sajjade. Four verses Krishna spoke to Uddhava. Very, very important verses. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instructions to Uddhava here. Ahamityanyada buddhi, Krishna says. So, what this means? Ahamityanyada buddhi. Krishna is saying here that this special ego inside, I am the false ego, jiva. That identity with the false ego, that is what is called ahamityanyada buddhi. By nature, I am spirit soul, isn't it? Soul, which we discussed about that we are part and parcel of Krishna. We are not false ego. But today, what we say about ourselves is all based on the platform of false ego, isn't it? So everything I identify with from morning to waking up, right up to the point we go to sleep, it's false ego that is working in all levels. So, aham iti anyadha buddhi, that aham, I am, anyadha buddhi, that this buddhi is telling me I am different than the my real aham, what I am. So there he says here, aham iti anyadha buddhi, ananda chinmaya hare gobiga ramana. Addressing Krishna, devotee says to him that let me not think in that way anymore, that I am this false ego. Let that thought never occur to me again. If I feel like that, if ever it happens like that, Let that happen to me, that the whole creation is only that me, the soul that is existing inside. This is the devotee's prayers to Krishna. So, when that separate individual sense, that false ego has developed, Krishna is saying here, that ahamiti anyada buddhi, then pramatyase yadahridi. Pramatyase yadahridi means, when it comes in the inside, in our consciousness, this thought, that immediately ulsarpadi rajo ghoram. That is the point when rajogunam pops up. The moment we identify with our false ego, immediately the reaction from inside is rajogunam comes up. Ulsarpadi rajo ghoram. Krishna says rajo ghoram. Ghoram means very powerful. And we don't think it's very powerful, do we? But Krishna is saying it's very powerful. What is that? The rajogunam that comes up inside. Ulsarpadi, it wakes up inside. Ulsarpadi rajoghoram tato vaigarikam mana. And immediately it pushes the mind into under its control. Immediately it pushes the mind under its control. And when the rajogunam pops up, the mind wakes up and it becomes very excited, completely under the control of different emotions. Emotions means like lust, greed, anger, and things like that. Kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam. All these things are this rajogunam that has come up inside. So, ahamityanyada buddhi pramattasya yada hridi ulsarpadi rajoghoram tato vaigarigam mana. Krishna is saying, ahamityanyada buddhi. Then anyada buddhi, moment we false ego identification starts, Krishna says, pramatase yadahridi. Immediately inside something pops up. What is that? Ulsarpadi rajo ghoram. That ghoram, the powerful rajogunam will come up inside. And in the result of that is tato vaigarigam mana. Immediately the mind which has come with will become completely emotional and excited about various things. It is a very Krishna science on the mind. If you want to understand what Krishna talks about in this mind, you have to read in the Ekadasha Skandam at different places Krishna has spoken. How alert we have to be about this mind. And how careful we have to be not to allow the mind to get affected by the world outside. Krishna says various things there about that. If you through Pururavas, Ailagidam, Krishna spoke about the mind. Through Ailagidam, that is in the 26th chapter, I think. Ailagidam, in the Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna talks about the mind. How you can very quickly fall down in life. We don't even know that we are fallen. We are thinking we are all in a very high spiritual world existing now. But Krishna is concerned, we are all completely fallen. In the fallen state we are at the moment. Not only that, what will happen is, when this happens, you go further down. And then you hit the bottom from where? It will be difficult to come back again. To such levels, we can fall. So, there in the Pururavas Ailagidam, Krishna talks about that. Similarly, in the 14th chapter also, that is in the next chapter, when talking about bhakti, Krishna says so many things about the mind. Mind also. How the mind can, you can... How, without your knowledge, mind is controlling everything in life. This is where spiritual knowledge is necessary, because when we don't observe all these things, simply thinking that everything will come out all right at the end, it may not happen. It may not happen. Why Krishna is telling us these things? So that to be watchful, to be alert about these things. And therefore, it is important. Krishna says here, ahamityanyada buddhi pramattasya yada hridi ulsarpadi rajoghoram tado vaigarigam mana. Ekadasha Skandam, in some places Krishna has given certain answers to Uddhava in such a way that Uddhava didn't have this problem. It is only for us. It's only for us. So, what happens with rajogunam? When the mind is corrupted with rajogunam, even his thoughts, what we call as sangalpam, isn't it? Our thoughts are all sangalpam, isn't it? Sangalpa vigalpam mana, that is the definition of the mind. Sangalpam and vigalpam, these are the two things the mind generally does. Sangalpam and vigalpam. You know what that means, isn't it? Sangalpa means lot of things you are imagining in your mind favorably. Vikalpa means a lot of things are coming and changing that. Like everything in life, when you think about it, you will see that a constant flow of thoughts is coming about various things, isn't it? Say you have some plans going through your mind. These are all sankalpa. A householder is thinking, okay, let my family life be happy, and if that's all happy, I'm okay. A householder is thinking like that, isn't it? Most of the householders think that. They think, well, my family life is somehow, everyone in the family is okay. My householder life is not too bad. It's reasonably okay. I am also peaceful. Family is peaceful. Everything is fine. Suddenly the next moment another thought comes. If this something happens to my wife or my children, what will happen to me? Immediately the whole thing starts. Sankalpam vikalpam. This is called sankalpa vikalpam. Or somebody, children get sick or something like that happens. So this sankalpa vikalpam is a nature of the mind. So Krishna's point is, if there is very strong rajogunam influence inside, even the sankalpa vikalpam will not be proper. Even that won't happen in the proper way. Properly sankalpa vikalpam means what? It should be all guided towards the spiritual life. Otherwise it's not proper. Everything centered around the centered around the body and the bodily activities. So therefore, in the Vedas, the reference to sankalpa means shubha sankalpam. Shubha sankalpa means auspicious sankalpam inside. And shubha sankalpa vastu, mind is considered like that. So in order that this auspicious sankalpam should develop in the body, in the mind, there should be sattvagunam inside. There should be sattvagunam inside. Then if the rajogunam is predominating inside, even the sankalpam what one has will not be in the proper way. Why is it like that? Things which are going to bring depression and bring tension or create other kinds of misery, all those objects, you will start meditating upon them. Gunadhyanam it is called. In Shastram, the word used is gunadhyanam. Gunadhyanam means those things which are going to bring you unhappiness and misery, you will meditate on that. It is amazing. Some of the things you won't believe it. We don't know these things. Why? Because we are a part of that. We can't even identify them. Very easy. But sometimes if you carefully read Bhagavatam and compare it with our life in this world, you can straight away understand that how much damage we are doing to ourselves due to this rajogunam, what is strongly inside. So what happens when you see the violence in the TV, for example, you will start thinking it's very nice to watch. Have you seen, it's not here, I think, American television, they have a certain kind of fight, isn't it? I don't know what it's called. On a ring, some very strong people come and they throw the other man upside down. And can you imagine so many people sitting and watching and clapping their hands? How wonderful it is. And there's a lot of people who cannot go to America to watch that. They sit here and they watch that. Regularly they watch that. And they know all the persons who come to fight and what good is good. And they talk all sorts of things. So they see these things and they think it is nice to watch that. Why is it he's feeling it's nice? What is the reason behind it? That's what Krishna is saying here. That he's feeling when he's watching this violence, and similarly children, when they see somebody shooting with a gun or putting the dagger on somebody or killing someone, it's nice to sit and watch all these kind of things, isn't it? A kind of happiness. Because why is that? Gunadhyana. Krishna is saying gunadhyanam inside. Why? That rajogunam inside, he has been meditating upon this, all these kind of things. That he will find happiness in all kind of activities and his thoughts will be following that. I know somebody in India who watches this program in America, I told you, regularly. He enjoys it so much. And he takes great pleasure. This fight I was talking, I don't know what is it called, but it is on the rings they come. Now, earlier, I think earlier it was only men. I was told now women also are doing that. The same thing. They build up their muscles and big, strong bodies and all that. So, so what? When you see that, you think, is this human society? You wonder, isn't it? This is, if you are getting happiness out of this kind of things, what do you say about that? And then the referee goes thumping on the ground, isn't it, to stop, separate them when they get too excited about it. Yeah. So, why I'm saying all these things is, that will go on its own way, that doesn't matter. What's important is, ahamityanyada buddhi, Krishna is saying there, ahamityanyada pramatase yadahradi, ulsarpadi rajoghoram tado vaigarigam mana. He's already lost. The man who is watching it, Ulsarpadi Rajogoram, he has nurtured this Rajogunam inside, he is not able to even detect that, that he has fallen down. He is thinking, what's the harm? A few minutes I am watching this. What's the harm in that? He does not know that this very thing, what he is watching, will turn into action one day. Ulsarpadi Rajogoram, tato vaigarigam mana. Because vaigarigam mana, the mind which is under the control of this Rajogunam will compel him or impel him one day to act in that direction. So conscious we have to be about this mind. If you are watching all, somebody is watching all that, then he is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and saying, I have to develop Satogunam, Satogunam, Satogunam. It's not going to happen. Because that is in the complete mode of passion. In Rajogunam it is, isn't it? So here, the sad thing is, when you see all that, you will start thinking it's very nice. That is the problem. The moment you start thinking that it's very nice, you can take it that you've fallen into that trap. Rajogunam's influence. But if you feel that, what should nonsense is this, I shouldn't be watching them, then you can say your Satogunam has taken control of you. These are the instances how you can recognize Satogunam and Rajogunam separately in life. When you get driven by that kind of things and want to watch such things and get excited about it. Why? Rajogunam excites very quickly, isn't it? It creates excitement, anger, passion, and ready to fight, and somebody winning, push him up, and somebody falling, kick him out. All this is the immediate tato vaigariyam mana. Krishna is saying it's the vigaram or the excitement that is developed inside. So, ahamityanyada buddhi pramattase yadahradi ulsarpadi rajoghoram tato vaigarigam mana. Krishna says like that. So, what will happen is, if that way, he says, he will start thinking that this is the same thing. Oh, smoking is not a bad thing. Smoking is nice. Why does he feel like that it is nice? Because of the rajogunam inside. Treatment has to be for the rajogunam, not for putting on a cigarette packet. It's injurious to your health. That won't help. The man is full of Rajogunam, what will he do? He will buy the cigarette still and he will smoke somewhere else where he won't see, somebody else won't watch him. Or he will find money somehow to get cigarettes or drugs, whatever that is. Ulsarpadi Rajogoram. The problem is Rajogunam inside. Same thing with, he'll start thinking alcohol is nice. Why not? This question will, who is asking this question from inside? This Rajogunam is asking the question from inside. Similarly, so many other things, chewing gum. Why? It is a Rajogunam inside. This is not a human habit, these things, isn't it? This is not human. This is the animalistic, that propensity is coming out, little by little. And because the society thinks it's fine, sometimes young men, you observe them, they'll chew these gums and want to show to the world, I'm somebody in this world, full of confidence inside, isn't it? So this is what you have to understand, that this is, it's not the question of chewing gum is going to damage the body. More damage has been done inside because of the rise of Rajogunam inside. And these are the people whom we are talking about coming to Satogunam, how difficult it is. Satogunam means different. With all these things in the background, so what will he do? He wants to do all these things, and he will create trouble for himself. He will try to he will engage in all these kind of things and in activities related to that. All the cause for all these things is Rajogunam. And what will happen with satsangam and satugunam? Satsangam and satugunam, if it happens any influence on a person, you will start thinking, I don't want all these things. I don't like it. When you see these things, somebody is watching these things on the television, you want to go away from there. When you see rajasic activities, all kinds of rajasic activities, you want to withdraw from there. This is the nature of satugunam. So it is not difficult to identify satugunam and rajogunam in a person. If you observe things very carefully, satval sanjayate jnanam. Satval sanjayate jnanam. Knowledge will develop inside a person when there is satugunam. Not only that, if there is satugunam, after a while you will start thinking, I don't want all these things, I don't need all these things. We are controlled by the modes of material nature. Without our knowledge, the modes are controlling us. The modes are controlling us. So therefore, Krishna says, when there is rajogunam inside, there will be gunadhyanam, meditation inside of the inside us. And each time, when we will find some object of sense gratification, and we will find it difficult to give it up. They complain like that, isn't it? Those who are addicted to smoking, alcohol, and habits like that, they will say it's very difficult to give it up. They'll take a New Year resolution, and they will take a vow that I won't, in the next year, I'm not going to smoke, or I'm not going to drink, or cut down my consumption, and things like that. All those things are okay externally, but inside that, he has to come out of that rajogunam first. Otherwise, it's not going to work. It is the gunam that you have to treat. What gunadhyanam inside, the rajogunam inside. So Krishna says there, a word he has used there, dusahasyahi durmate. It's a pretty heavy word. In the next verse, rajo yuktasya manasa sangalpa savigalpakaha tadakkamo gunadhyana dusahasyadhi durmate. Very important. Krishna is saying, Rajoyuktasya manasa, that a mind which is infected with rajogunam, what will happen is, sangalpa savigalpakaha, continuous sangalpa vigalpam will go on inside. Sangalpa vigalpam will go on inside. Tadakamam gunadhyanal dusahasyahi durmate. Kamam, the lust inside that person. Tadakamam gunadhyanal, because of the rajogunam's influence inside, he will develop gunadhyanam inside. And he says, dusahasyahi durmate. He is considered to be durmati. Durmati means his intelligence is gone. His intelligence is gone. He can't do any more, any discrimination. He will shake hands with you. He will talk to you everything. But inside, this thing is burning. What is that? This rajogunam is burning inside. That is what he is saying here. So, people want to give up. Unable to give up. But at the right time comes, unable to resist. They go after that, isn't it? And they know that they shouldn't talk nonsense and also not to give trouble to others. But without their knowledge, they will do it. If you observe them carefully, sometimes you have to, these things you can see much clearer when you come to spiritual institutions. You won't, in the external world outside, everything is it's already in that way. But here, what in the spiritual world, what happening is, the vasanas that has come with him and the rajogunam in him, he will preach and talk all kinds of good things. But when he comes to action, totally opposite happens, comes from him. Why? Why is that? This rajogunam is very strongly compelling him to do that. He knows it's wrong, but he's unable to stop it. He's unable to stop it. That is why spiritual life, unless one is understands the subtleties of all of these things, on a gross level, if you keep on practicing spiritual life, it will remain in that state. It will never go. Whereas it is the subtleties that makes the change in us. So that's why Krishna is saying here that without our knowledge, they will do this. You can see the politicians, they criticize each other and they control, they shout at each other, fight each other, all the, we find fault in them, isn't it? we find fault in them, asking them, why do you do like this? Then they will say that, I have done it for the party I'm representing. One man will say whichever party he is representing. This is called bhakti for the party. This is called bhakti towards the party. As far as they are concerned, they are fully convinced what they are doing is the right thing, isn't it? You can imagine at the election times, which is now also, a lot of lies are written, one after the other, printed, distributed. They know that the public also will forget very soon after the election is over, isn't it? They'll forget it. So knowing very well, they are willing to do all lies. They print it out with bullet points and tell us, we'll do all this for you. Nothing will happen after that. It's not possible because they also know it's not possible. It's not going to happen. Why is it happening? They also know that lying is wrong thing, but still they do it. Why? Ulsarpadi rajo ghoram tado vaigarigam mana. That's the only answer to that. There's no other answer. The rajogunam inside is forcing them to do it. It's forcing them to do it. They know many things that is lie. What do you call it? What kind of lie? It's called a lie, straight lie on our face. That it's not possible for them to do what they are promising. What they are promising. They can't do that because they don't have it. So what to do? So they keep promising all kinds of things. We'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do that. Like this, every 5 years we are told so many things, isn't it? So it goes on. The point is that they also know this very well, that what they are going to tell us is all bunch of lies. And they also know they can't do it, what they are promising, but still they do it. Why? Ulsarpadi rajo ghoram tato vaigarigam mana. That rajogunam has taken control of them. They are not able to see anything wrong in what they are doing. That's a sad thing. They don't even know that what they are doing is the wrong thing. If it comes to that state, what do you call that? It's more or less a lost case, isn't it? That if we have lost that sense of this is something really wrong, I shouldn't do this. And if we come to that understanding, gunadhyanal, because for him, he, as far as he is concerned, he is thinking that what he is doing is the right thing. I'm doing it for the party. I belong to this party, so I have to do the right thing to get my party elected, so I have to do this. I have to do this. Therefore, they are willing to do anything. So one day, one child asked this question, why do people kill each other? The child did not understand. Why do people kill each other? So what can you answer to the child? What do you answer to the child? Why do you kill each other? If you go and ask a person who has killed, he will answer, you have to kill. You have to kill your enemies, he will say. You have to kill your enemies. We have got enemies and it is good to kill them. This is all. These conclusions are rajo yuktasya manasa. That a mind which is infected with rajogunam, Krishna is saying there, that rajo yuktasya manasa sangalpa savigalpagaha tada kamo gunadhyanal dusahasyadi durmate. That gunadhyanam has happened in him inside. He has the influence by this particular mode, rajogunam, he has been meditating on all these things. Dusahasyadi durmate. Durmati means his mind has no more any pure qualities inside. It is completely infected. The subtle body is completely infected. It's a trap. It is a trap. It is in this trap, once you fall in that, you cannot come out from that. You cannot come out from that. Remember, I mentioned this also before. During the time of Akbar, there was this forced conversion from among the Hindu society at that time to Islam. So they converted a lot of people forcefully. Forcefully they converted. So Akbar was a lot more more considerate on that. He also knew that it was not proper to do that. It was not proper to do things on a forceful level in religious conversion, in other words. So at that point, there was a very saintly personality Madhusudana Saraswati, who was called, he lived little before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, more or less the same time as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he, what he did was, those who were practicing spiritual life, they were caught and they were forcefully converted into their religion. So Madhusudana Saraswati took the initiative to go and see Akbar about this. So he went to see Akbar with a group of people and requested Akbar that this must be stopped. This is not proper to do that. You can preach your philosophy, but if you start using physical and brutal force to convert people, that does not look very advanced understanding of spiritual life. And Akbar was a little bit favorable to that principle. He understood that what Madhusudana Saraswati was talking about. The sannyasis were captured by them and they were killed. So Akbar says, I want to help you, to Madhusudana Saraswati. This is what he said, I want to help you. But according to our shastram, you are people to be killed. According to our shastram, you are people to be killed. What can I do? And our shastram is telling us that you all have to be killed. So this was the reply from Akbar. But I am not the person to say whether it's right or wrong, he said. I won't say whether it's a right or wrong thing. I am not the person to say. But one issue is here is that there is somebody has interpreted it like that, shastram in that way. Their holy book has been interpreted in that way, that others should be killed. Some interpretation like that. So, because that interpretation is there, because I am not a spiritual authority, Akbar said, and this interpretation does exist, so if they are doing that, I cannot do anything against that. I can't take a decision against that. But if you want to fight it back, you can do that. I won't get involved in that. That much I can do. That was the words from Akbar to Madhusudana Saraswati. So Madhusudana Saraswati accepted that. At least they had to protect themselves, because Madhusudana Saraswati was such a highly elevated soul. He wrote these famous books in Shastram. You will see Vamshi Vibhushita Karanam Nirada Abad, famous verses he wrote about Krishna. And Madhusudana Saraswati then formed a group of sannyasis army. And they deliberately took to a training, like in the time when Guru Nanak's time, how it happened in the same way. They developed an army of sannyasis and they took to extreme renunciation and developing physical strength to fight against this forceful conversion. And it is their descendants whom you see in Kumbh Mela when you go, the Nagababas. It was originally started by this Madhusudana Saraswati. You see them in Kumbh Mela when you go. In every Kumbh Mela, they are a very powerful presence. Their presence is there. They completely naked, they walk, covered, smeared with ashes, grows long matted hair, and they go through extreme temperatures, heat and cold. They force their body to take to severe austerities and penances in order to prepare themselves for this situation. So, so initially they had to do that. These sannyasis had to go through that to protect themselves. So, he had to get them strong in their bodies. Madhusudana Saraswati had to get them strong in their bodies. So, you will find a lot of things in Shastram like this. That is so many interpretations in that way. And if our intelligence is in Rajogunam, we will fall for these things. That's where this comes from. Shastram is there, interpretation is also there, Shastram's commentary on that. So those who are commended Shastram in the mood of goodness, they will give you a commentary in the mood of goodness. Those who are in the mood of passion, who have commended the Shastram, they give you a commentary in passion. And those who are in the mode of tamogunam, they'll give you a commentary in tamogunam. So even shastrams had to go through this when it comes through the commentary. So once it so happened that they will find out, their intelligence will be like that, they will find out in the shastram something to suit their modes to suit their modes of nature. So Ramatirtha used to say about this incident, what happened. Swami Ramatirtha used to mention this. He was walking in a street, one person was coming across opposite to him, fully drunk. And then a cleric was going across that way. So he saw him, and the person who was drunk, he belonged to the same Muslim religion. So he asked him that, don't you know that in our religion you are not allowed to drink? He says to him, but you are still drinking. Why is it? He asked that question. He says very coolly that, although I have read the book, he says, that I have not lost that knowledge from the book. That was his answer. But I am still drinking. And I am only doing what is spoken in the book, he said. What is spoken in the book. So, in the book says something, and this cleric who has told him that our book is saying like this, the other person is saying, no, I am only drinking because it's mentioned in the book. So he says, where does it say it's like that? Where does it say that you can drink alcohol? He says, no, it is mentioned. He says, you can drink, you can steal, and you can give pain to others. All these things are mentioned. And I have read this, he said. So this mullah, they call mullah, isn't it? Mullah was very surprised. He said, so then he said, why you are doing all this? He says, yeah, because there is no objection to that, he says. So, but if you do all these things, you will go to hell. If you go to hell, if you do all these kind of things, he said like that to him. So he says, no, I didn't read that part. In the holy book, it is only said, the first part he read, you should not do this, you should not do this. If you do all these kind of things, this will be the result, it says like that. I only looked at the first part, and I'm doing that. That's all. The other thing, I'm not bothered. He said, I didn't look at the other part. So in other words, what it means is that if you want to take Shastram in that way, you can take it also and take from that what you want to take. So he says to him, is it possible to practice the whole of Quran? How is that possible? He asked the question. It's not possible to practice that. I'm practicing the first part, what I have read. At least I have taken something. That is his logic. He's saying, I've taken something what I can practice. But I can't practice all of it, he says. So I've taken that part which suits me. So I can do. So in this kind of interpretation will come from such people who are in this Rajogunam. All this is spoken in a casual way, but people will find this kind of utility in Shastram. In Shastram, people will abuse in this kind of things. What is the reason behind it? Krishna is saying Rajoguna. Rajo yuktasya manasa. It is people who are in Rajogunam that they will never understand what Bhagavatam is saying or what Bhagavad Gita is saying. They will interpret it in their own way and do things in their own way. And if you ask them, they will say, we are following Bhagavad Gita and we are following Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is where the difficulty is coming. So, Rajo yuktasya manasa, according to their mind, which is in the modes of nature, Rajogunam, and according to their vasana, accordingly, they will pick up things from the Shastram. They will pick up things from the Shastram. This is where the difficulty is. Take for Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll give you example, Bhagavatam itself. Take Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no other literature in the Vedic tradition as good as Srimad Bhagavatam in certain areas, particularly Vedanta philosophy, knowledge, jnanam, bhakti, in these things. It has been written by Vedavyasa Maharshi, compiled this as a commentary to Brahma Sutram. He has compiled it. So in this Srimad Bhagavatam, the message is knowledge, the message is bhakti. Message is bhakti. But some people, they come and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. What would they like to hear? They like to hear how Krishna got married to Rukmini. This is their most interesting part in the Srimad Bhagavatam that attracts them. How Krishna got married to Rukmini. These are people who, as soon as the marriage season starts, every day they will have an invitation, marriage invitation. And they are thinking that Krishna got married to Rukmini. So it's another marriage. Let me see how Krishna got married to Rukmini. It's another interesting thing for them, Rukmini's marriage. And Rukmini's marriage has not been given much of an importance in Srimad Bhagavatam. We must know that, because that Krishna stole Rukmini, first thing. Krishna stole Rukmini. Whole thing is finished up in 4 or 5 verses. Krishna has to, what Sukadeva Goswami had to say about that marriage. And that too, through those verses, some spiritual message, Sukadeva Goswami wanted to give it to us. But these personalities, they will come to hear Bhagavatam, and they take great delight in hearing about Rukmini's marriage to Krishna. And they enjoy this. Somebody is getting married. Oh, it's beautiful. Nice to be there. So marriage is happening. So, we're not saying that marriage is a wrong thing. That's not the message. Message is this, that in whichever stage we are, it is, we will only take notice of those things in the Bhagavatam. In what stage we are living at the moment, we will find attraction for that in the Shastram. In what stage we are situated, accordingly, you will find only such things will catch our attention in the Shastram. That is the main thing. That's why when you say Ekadasha Skandam, they think it's like a Kerala for them. Ekadasha Skandam is Kerala, because as soon as you start eating, it's so bitter. They say it's not very interesting. We've got 10th canto, beautiful 10th canto. That is everything there. Krishna's dancing with the gopis, marrying Rukmini Devi. Such a beautiful part, full of happiness, how Krishna enjoyed with the gopis. All this is more valuable for them. Why is like that? That there is no understanding that the only in Sattvagunam you can take Ekadasham. Otherwise it's very difficult. Very difficult to understand. That is a rule. That's what Krishna is saying here. That how you are, accordingly it will come out. And your sangalpam all inside will be in the same way, according to that. So all the sangalpam will also be according to that. Because if I am taking great delight in all the marriages that's going on in this world, naturally I will get attracted to find out how Krishna got married. And then Krishna married another 16,100. How did he manage that? And how did he get married to so many women? And how was his householder life? This will be the kind of things I'll be more concerned. This happened in Dwaraka. Isn't it? You know that story, don't you? That some people in Dwaraka was thinking that Krishna got married 16,108 wives. How does he manage this marriage? That was the only thing they wanted to know. Nothing else from Krishna. The main thing they wanted to know, how Krishna is managing his married life. So they say to Narada Maharshi, Narada Maharshi, it is not possible to manage 16,108 wives. Narada Maharshi told them first, no, it is possible. He is the Supreme Lord. He can do anything he wants. They said, no, we don't trust you. You go and see yourself. And that's how they sent him, isn't it? He had to go because they forced him. They said, I'll go and find out and then come back and report to you later. So he goes there to find out how Krishna's married life is. They go first went to Rukmini's house, then went to Satyavamas, then to Jambavadis, then to Kalindis, then to Mitravindas, like that. After many houses, when Narada Maharshi saw Krishna is every house executing his married life properly, he was completely lost. And then somebody, policeman came and caught Narada Maharshi. That's the first time Narada Maharshi got arrested and he was taken to the court. So he says, and at that time you have to see, Narada Maharshi was brought in front of the judge. So Krishna says to Narada Maharshi, calls first time, Narada Maharshi, my dear son. That's how he said, I am not a person who just preaches dharmam. I am a person who preaches dharmam, and I can show that in life also. Because who I am, you haven't understood that. It's the problem. That's why Krishna presented there. So seeing all these things, we are interested in seeing that the activities of things like this, married life, how Krishna conducted his married life. So why? Because we are in that stage, our sangalpam, migalpam is rajogunam inside is dictating to us to take interest in all these kind of things and give importance to it. Rajo yuktasya manasa sangalpa savigalpagaha tada kamo gunadhyanal dusahasyadhi durmade. Krishna is calling such people dusahasyadhi durmade. It's very strong. That dusaham, that means they're unbearable in their nature. And Krishna says there, dusahasyadi durmate. That because it's aham rupam ahobhavam. Because of that, aham is tanyada buddhi. That I am that false ego is very strongly injected inside, and therefore the mind goes in that direction, looking for that. Then what will happen? Karodi kama vashagaha. Next thing what will happen is karodi kama vashaga. And then karmani avijitendriyaha. Then dukkodarkani sambhashyan rajovega vimohidaha. The next thing what will happen is karodi kama vashagaha. Then one who has fallen into that trap, Krishna is saying here, that knowing very well that this is all going to bring a lot of distress, what he will do, because of the powerful rajogunamas inside, it will force him that to continue with that karma, unable to come out of it. He will do so many things in this world without any control of his senses, and he will conduct all his affairs in this world in that way. And the result of that is, Krishna says, dukkodarkani. What causes from that is dukkham. Distress will come to that person. Dukkodarkani sampashyan rajovega vimohidaha. That rajasa, rajogunam, will create this situation. Vega vimohidaha. Krishna uses the word vega vimohidaha. Vega vimohidaha means rajovegam. Rajogunam will quickly, very quickly change his life into a distress and misery. Change his life into distress and misery. Why? Dukkodarkani sampashyan. Rajovega vimohidaha. Dukham is experienced more in rajogunam and tamogunam. In sattogunam, dukham won't be experienced. Why is that? Because the nature of sattogunam is such that when distress comes, knowledge will come to help. Knowledge will come to help. Who is experiencing the distress? The mind is experiencing the distress, not the soul. Soul is not experiencing anything. Krishna keeps repeating that. It is experienced by the mind. When the mind experiences that distress, if a person is in sattogunam, the knowledge will come for his help. He won't experience that distress as much as one who is in rajogunam and in tamogunam. If he is in rajogunam, he will try to counteract by some means. And if he is in tamogunam, what he will do? He will go in the opposite direction. That means he will go into finding a solution by attacking the another person who is thinking falsely that somebody else has caused him this distress, or he will go in a direction which is totally more destructive. So, what is the way to come out of this? That's what he is saying here. Apramato rajastamo bhyamyadabi vidvan vikshiptadhi punaha adandrido manoyunjan doshadrishtir na sajjadeem. Doshadrishtir na sajjadeem. That when rajogunam and tamogunam is very deep inside a person and his intelligence is gone, but when a person is in sattugunam, he will be able, knowing very well that it is going to destroy me. It's going to destroy me. And with that understanding, if he continuously try to control his senses staying in sattugunam, he may escape from that. That's the point Krishna is making. Then, rajastamo biyadabi vidvan vikshiptadi punaham atandrido mano yunjan doshadrashtir na sajjadeem. Then, Krishna gives the answer. Apramato anyanjida mano mayarpayan shanaihi. That is important thing. Apramato anyanjida mano mayarpayan shanaihi. Then, Krishna is saying that in the effect of rajogunam is predominating at that time, if one has constantly tried to stay in sattogunam, but still rajogunam attacks him sometimes. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, in the seventh canto, Saptamaskandam, the beginning itself, Parikshit Maharaj asked a question to Sukadeva Goswami. The question was this: how come Krishna is always taking the sides of the demigods and constantly killing the demons? Sometimes you find the demons are in the right side, they have done the right thing, but Krishna still goes and supports the demigods against them. So this question Parikshit found a little bit unfair, that Krishna is supporting all the time demigods without any looking into the... For example, you can see that Indra kingdom was lost, isn't it? Mahabali took it away. And Mahabali acquired the kingdom in the right way by executing yagam, sacrifices, hundreds of Ashwamedham he sacrificed. Shukracharya gave so much strength to Mahabali. He says there that Mahabali went to invade the heavenly planets. Brihaspati was there, who was the spiritual master of the demigods. Indra asked Brihaspati, why Mahabali is able to take control of us so easily, without we are unable to fight him, he is so powerful. Brihaspati answered, that is the strength of the Mahabali's spiritual master. Mahabali's spiritual master, who is that? Shukracharya. So Indra says, haven't I got a spiritual master? Referring to Brihaspati. Brihaspati says, yes, that's there, but what have you done to your spiritual master? He says, remember when Brihaspati walked into the assembly of the assembly of the demigods, Indra was situated very nicely, and he didn't even look at Brihaspati's direction. So dealing with spiritual masters in that way has not started today. It has been then also, it was like that. That spiritual masters were treated in that way. So whatever it may be, so Indra behaved like that, and still Aditi Devi goes again and talks to Krishna, and then Payovratam was executed, and then Krishna gave the assurance that I can't do anything about it because Mahabali has got it in the rightful way. It will not be proper for me to take it away from him, but let me try through various some other means. And then he comes as Vamanamurti and takes away from Mahabali. Actually, you feel sorry for Mahabali more than Indra at that time, isn't it? Mahabali is that surrender to Krishna, and that he was sent to Sudalam from there. But that's in the story. But what the point is this, that the like you mentioned here, the Kodakani Sampashin, that Krishna says here, that the Rajasthamobhyam Yadami Vidyan Vikshiptadi Punaha Adandrido Manojan Dosha Dashtyamna Sajjade, that a person will act according to his modes of nature, and even when he is studying Shastram, from Shastram he will find those things according to his modes of nature that suits him. That's what he will take from the Shastram. So this is the problem. Because it is like that, you can't say that everybody who has studied Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam has come to the same conclusions. Someone who has studied Srimad Bhagavatam will conclude in one way, and another person will go deeper and see things in a different level altogether. That you can't avoid. It will always happen. I give you many examples. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know that Kashyapa Prajapati gave some instructions to Diti Devi when she became pregnant with Hiranyakashi and Hiranyakashipu. Then in the sixth canto, the story of Marudevas are mentioned. There also, Didi Devi got instructions from Kashyapa Prajapati to execute a certain vratam or certain austerity for 12 or 14 days. 12 or 14 days. Then to Aditi Devi, to his other wife, he had two wives. Kashyapa Prajapati had two wives, Aditi Devi and Didi Devi. Through Aditi Devi, all the demigods were born. Through Didi Devi, all the demons were born. So when Aditi Devi performed a sacrifice, a fasting process, about 12 days or so, Pumsavanam or something it's called, and Kashyapa Prajapati told Aditi Devi, perform this for 12 days, and then eventually I will appear. I'll appear in front of you, and then you can tell me what you want. And that's how Vamanamurti appeared, isn't it? So that is the benediction given to Aditi Devi. Kashyapa Prajapati gave a similar benediction to Didi Devi to perform Pumsavanam or something it's called. So another 14 days, this follow these rules and regulations and live in this way and everything will come out nicely. He gave this, provided you follow it properly. Aditi Devi followed it through and made it a success. Didi Devi could not do it. Why? At that point Indra came over and got into Didi Devi's womb and killed the, the garbham inside, the pregnancy, broke them into 7 and then again 7, 49, and Indra went inside, they all came out together at the end. So that happened because Didi Devi made a small mistake in her following the rules and regulations. When you read Srimad Bhagavatam, many people think, if I can find out what that prose, 12 days fast, if I can do it in a short sketch, in a short trip of 12 days, I'll follow it strictly, will I get the same result? People ask all these questions. So why is it like that? Because in Srimad Bhagavatam, that's what they have found more interesting. That the what Didi Devi did or Aditi Devi did. That's how they are looking at the Shastram. Whereas Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us something a lot more than that. The reality of the soul, self-realization, knowledge, devotion, and three modes of nature, and so many higher topics are discussed in the Bhagavatam, that's not attracting to them. That's not attractive to them. They are more interested by these things. Similarly, if you know, in the sixth canto, there is this Narayana Kavacham, the story of Narayana Kavacham. Lot of people are studying that and thinking that maybe that's the one I could got some benefit out of Bhagavatam. At least that Narayana Kavacham, I will memorize it and I'll chant it every day, which will protect me. So, in this way, when people approach Shastram, their way of thinking will have a strong influence on their conclusions as well. The way they think about various things, which depends on which gunam they are, sattvam, rajas or tamas, accordingly, they will accept things from the Shastram also. So that's why he says here, karodi kama vashaka. So before studying Shastram, Krishna's point is, if you are in sattva gunam, you will understand things properly. If you are in rajogunam, you will take those things which is related to action. You are ready for action straight away. Something you want to do immediately. Physically, you will swing into action straight away. That's coming from the rajogunam. If you are in tamogunam, you will read and you will throw the book into the bin and go. That's what. This is the problem with the modes. Generally, you know that sometimes you wonder, so much Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is distributed, isn't it? And we keep an account of that, how many books have gone out, how many people have got it, and how many people have read it, and how many people have become devotees. They become all these statistics they make. Statistics are not showing very good results for the number of books that's gone out, is it? Why is it like that? Rajohi kamavashagaha. Answer is there in the Bhagavatam. Then Krishna is saying here, Rajoyuktasya manasa sangalpa vigalpagaha. That rajastamobhyam yadabhi vidvan vikshipta dipunaha atandrido mano injan doshadashtirna sajjade. There are many, many people I know who have got the full set of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and all the books very nicely packed and kept like this and stays like that throughout life. Nothing has happened in their life. Somebody has given them and they have took it. And we have told them, if you keep it in the house, that is enough. Everything will do the job. So we are also good at that. They are also, that's what they want to hear from us. So we also told them the same thing. And keep it at home. It is true also, if Bhagavatam is there, it is good. At least somebody, by chance, one day you may look in that direction. What is it all written there in that book? So that's not too bad. So that's good. But that's not what Krishna is talking about here. What Krishna is saying here, that according to our vasanas and according to the gunam, what is inside, when you look into the Shastram, you will take things what you want based on the gunam. So in the mode of goodness, you will sit and think what Krishna has spoken. That is a sattugunam's quality. Sattval sanjayade jnanam. In rajogunam, what will you do? You will find those things which are good for physically involvement, activities. You will give priority to that. You will be interested in deity worship, in a very high level, and or any other activity in relationship with Rajogunam. Activities will be given more importance than the knowledge side of it. Knowledge side won't take any priority. And it is in the Tamogunam, it will go in the other way. Apramatto, Krishna says, Apramatto aniyunjidam anum ayyarpayin shanehi. So, anirvinno yathakalam jidashwaso jidasana. Krishna says here, the only choice there it is to improve the sattugunam. Improve the sattugunam. And for that, Krishna is jidashwaso jidasana. Two things he mentioned there. Jidashwaso means controlling the breath. Then here, Krishna is talking about the yoga margam, the yoga process. To some extent, he will talk about yoga here. Then he says here, jidashwaso jidasanam. Jidasanam means ashtanga yogam, how to properly sit. And jidasanam, jidashwasam is how to control the breath, pranayama. That's what Krishna is talking about. So, these things are only to improve. Pranayama helps to improve the sattugunam. There is no doubt. Pranayama increases the sattugunam. But while doing pranayama, if one is engaged in other kinds of activities, all these positive things what's developing here will go in the negative direction. Combined with control of the mind and not associating with the lower modes of nature, if one practices pranayama, it will do a lot of good for the person. In fact, it is a part of deity worship. In all the ancient temples, before the pujari enters in the morning to the temple room, he has to perform pranayama. It's an absolute necessity. Why? Control of the mind, so that bad thoughts doesn't develop inside, while inside the deity room, in the association of the deity. Nor any kind of bodily disorders don't happen there, inside the deity room. So he performs pranayama prior to going inside. It's good to do that. But on the one hand, if you perform pranayama, and on the other hand, oh, you're thinking, I perform pranayama, now I can go and watch all the rubbish in this world, in the television, and associate with people who are in the lower modes of nature, then it won't work, because you are doing the opposite thing. So, previously, as I mentioned before, Krishna used the word there, yathakalam. See that? Yathakalam jidashwaso jidasana. Why is he say yathakalam? Yathakalam means that there are three times in a day where anushtanam is necessary. Anushtanam means the sadhana. Sadhana is to be executed in three times a day. The morning, prabhadam, in the Brahma Muhurtam, then in the middle of the day, madhyandinam, and in the evening times, sayandaram, or the evening hours. So, Krishna is saying, it's good if you do it regularly. It will do good to us if you do it regularly. Krishna gives this anirvino yathakalam. He says, if you do that without any hesitation, on a fully fixed upon that, if you do like that, then it will do good. It will develop sattugunam. It will develop sattugunam. Everybody does that. Those who have advanced spiritual life, you will see at some point in time in their life, for a few years, they completely pulled out of the worldly life, and withdrew themselves and executed their sadhana very intensely. Prabhupada's spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, before he took to this Gaudiya mission, before he started, 8 years or something, he chanted every day 100 or 120 rounds or something, every single day, without any other activity, continuously chanting the holy name for 8-10 years. After that, he started discussing and preaching Krishna consciousness, and that, because that's necessary sometimes to get us into the right track. When it is so much infected with Rajogunam, Tamogunam, it will become necessary to do that, to develop that Sattugunam inside. So sometimes forcefully we have to do that. Anirvanam yathakalam, Krishna says, it has to be done on a regular basis. For example, chanting the holy name. Chanting the holy name. And remembering about great personalities who have gone in the spiritual life prior to us. Their sacrifice, their austerities, their renunciations, all these things, remembering them, that will develop sattugunam inside, Krishna says. Remembering them, their austerities, their renunciation, and their 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 purity, their life in this world, if you remember them, that will develop sattvagunam inside. Krishna is saying like that. Whereas if this is also a proof of our rajogunam inside. If you start following the celebrities, how they live and what they are doing in their life every day, how they are passing their life, that is rajogunam inside. Yes, that's what it is. Yeah? So you can see how constantly you have to keep a note of the mind where it's going. And if it is too much in rajogunam, then all this agasyaskandam is really difficult to get through. So not only remembering about Krishna and Krishna's instructions, even the life of those great devotees that develop this purity inside. So, three times a day executing this jidashvaso jidasana. Krishna saying, little by little, one has to get a control over pranan. Then jidashvasa means bringing that pranan into a rhythm, into that rhythm. That not that Krishna is saying that you have to execute this pranayama all the time. See, why it is pranayama? Pranan is the gross form of the mind. Pranan is the gross form of the mind. When the mind is disturbed, when the mind is chanchalam, chanchalam means always shaking, the pranan also gets disturbed inside. So, therefore, to stay quietly in solitude for some time and engage in sadhana is good. To engage in sadhana is good. And by, just like you churn the yogurt and take the butter from that, similarly, by chanting the holy name and remembrance of Krishna's form, pastimes and great devotees, their activities, ultimately, what will happen is that bhakti, devotion, will also come out in the same way like the butter comes out. The same way butter comes out, the devotion also will develop inside. That's why Krishna says here, in the next verse, etavan yogam adishto machishye sanagadibi sarvado mana akrishya mayad aveshyade yadaha. Then Krishna says, etavan yogam adishto machishye sanagadibi sarvado manam agrishya mayad haveshyade yatha. I have discussed this with the four Kumaras, Sanaga, Sanandana, Sanadana and Sanat Kumara, the four Kumaras. I have discussed this and I have given instructions to them about this in the past. Krishna said this and stopped. He said, I have spoken about this to them in another instance, he said. Uddhava uvacha. Uddhava says at that point. Yeah. So, if you look into Bhagavad Gita also, you will see the same thing Krishna has spoken. If you know in the chapter, sixth chapter, that is the sixth chapter, Dhyana Yoga. Krishna calls it as the Dhyana Yoga. In that sixth chapter, Krishna says, if you look into verse 20, he says there, verse 20, the message is not different in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the one and the same thing. Yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevayam yatra chaivatmana atmanam pashyan atmani tushyati sukham aityandigam yattad buddhigrahyam atindriyam veti yatra na chaivayam sthitas chalati tatvadaha yam labdhva cha pare labham manyade nadhigam tada yasmin stito na dukkhena guruna api vijayate tam vidya dukkha samyogam vyogam yoga samidam. So those three verses in the sixth chapter, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, yatra uparamate chittam, that uparamate chittam, yatra uparamate chittam, when the chittam or the vasanas inside, what is inside, if that is absorbed niruddham yoga sevaya, when the chittam activities of the vasanas are stopped, that Krishna calls it as yoga sevaya. Yatra jayu altmanam pashyan altmani tushyadi. Once the chittam stops its activities, Krishna says there, that jayu altmanam, he will realize the soul, pashyan altmani tushyati, and he'll be so much in happiness, the happiness that is coming from that self-realization will take over. And you see that translation if you read. The stage of perfection is called trance or samadhi. When one's mind is completely restrained from material activities, mental activities, by practice of yoga. This is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness and enjoys himself through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth, and upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. So, in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has got only one thing to say. What is that? Atmanyeva Atmanatushta. Come back to the soul. There is no other way to become happiness. Here Krishna says here, Pashyan Atmani Tushyadi. In this sixth chapter, in the second chapter, Krishna says, Atmanyeva Atmanatushta. Be situated in the self, in the soul. Otherwise, there is no happiness possible. So, he says here that mind, which is going, what is mind? Mind is Chitavrti, isn't it? Chitavrti is the mind. All the vasanas are coming out through the mind in different forms. So, at that point, somehow or the other, by chanting the holy name or meditating on the form, if one can bring it back into its, into Krishna. Krishna means, when he is referring to here, you have to remember, Krishna is present inside as the super soul. He's referring to that also here. That if a form you can remember, it's fine. But if you know that he is closer to you inside us as super soul, Antaryami, that recognition is Krishna is talking about. That that sadhana has to be performed alone. Sadhana has to be performed alone. And while chanting the holy name, all these thoughts to come down, it helps a lot. It helps a lot. Even when everybody has gone to sleep, if you can sit down and chant, it's still good. It is still good. we should not do it to show it to everybody else. Look, I'm chanting my 16 rounds. Then everybody should know about it. So Krishna says there, in course of time, if we continue like that, the chanting will become a inside, andar javam. That means a javam inside will develop in due course. And to train the mind to chant. That is the most important thing. Sankirtanam, bhajana, bhajans and all, is for external. Is for external activity. But bhajan when you perform externally, sadhana you have to execute alone, single-handedly. So therefore, if you look into all the great saints in Maharashtra, Tukaram and Namadev and many others, Ekanath, Yaneshwar, they sang a lot of abhangs, isn't it? They are very well known. Nama Sankirtanam, they were chanting. But sadhana they did alone. If you look at their life, you will see they all had their own individual sadhana. But Sankirtanam, they did it all together. So, their chanting was the chanting the holy name. In the face, there was the holy name, Krishna's holy name, they stuck with that. continuously chanting. In due course, it will become chanting inside. The mind will start chanting without being prompted. So, this chanting continuously inside, we refer that in the four stages also. Vaikari, Madhyama, Pashyandi, Para. Four stages in chanting. When it becomes completely quiet inside and still chanting going on, and all the chitavrtis have stopped inside, and at that time it is very peaceful inside. Then, therefore, it is recommended to execute like that. All great personalities, great devotees, they have reached Krishna, they have realized the truth, and self-realization happened to them all by executing sadhana alone. Executing sadhana alone. Therefore, and in order to know that route and to keep on that track, satsangam and also the life of great personalities, great devotees will help. But what we have to do it alone. We have to Do it alone. You shouldn't depend on anybody else for that. So it is for this reason only, that sometimes institutional spiritual life doesn't help. Institutional spiritual life doesn't help. Because what happens is that you'll have no time for chanting after that, after doing everything else. That won't happen. So you can do what you can do, but at the same time, it should not become a burden on oneself. The sadhana must carry on. Individual sadhana must carry on. Till we realize that truth, anubhuti mandalam, that chanting the holy name inside, and till that brings its results to us, this has to go on. That chittavritti has to stop. That which brings the, ultimately the prana under control. The senses are controlled. Mind, intelligence, and eventually the intelligence also becomes very stable in that state. And that is the state when Krishna says, when the mind has come under control, intelligence has come under control, only then the little bit spark of that self will come out from inside. Even if we say all these things, these are all, people will still think, how is that possible? Isn't it? They'll ask the same question. In fact, I can only say this, these are the songs what Tukaram has sung, Namdev has sung, Yaneshwar has sung, Eknath has sung, all the great devotees have sung these things. So we'll say the same thing. In other words, what they are saying is, we have to work. Not that they also had to work. Not that, that everything was so straightforward for them also. If you look into life of Tukaram, Namadev and Yaneshwar and all that, you can see that they also had to go through a lot of experiences in life before they realized the truth. After realizing the truth, what they spoke to this world is what we hear from them. But before they realized the truth, they also had to go through various experiences in their life. Yogasthiti. Then, four kinds of people, they don't sleep at night. As you know, four kinds of people. Like Krishna says, four kinds of people come to me, Krishna says, isn't it? Artho, jinyasu, arthaarthi, jnani. Krishna also says that four kinds of people don't sleep at night. Yogis, they don't sleep at night, isn't it? Rogis, they don't sleep at night because they are sick, they can't. Then bogis, who are in after sense enjoyment, they become very active in the night, isn't it? As soon as the sun sets, they come into action. All the, they say, their weekends and their lives becomes very active, full of activity in the night, bogis. And then who else? Drohi, who also wants to give trouble to everyone else, stealing and or killing others or shooting others, all these people. They also become very active at night. So yogi, bogi, rogi, drohi, all he's. At the end, they are also active at night. They also do things in silence. Just like the person who is looking for self-realization, he has to do everything in silence, in loneliness. And these four also has to, is looking for that silence. So only difference is, the person who is looking for self-realization is looking inwards. He is looking inwards. Why? Because he knows the thing he is looking for is inside. And what once he has got it, and then, after that, after the, he can retire from that and he can stay peacefully in life. But till he gets it, his thoughts has to go in that direction on a continuous flow. Just like if you have ghee hung up in a pot and at the bottom if you make a small hole and hold a cloth tied to it, either oil or ghee, it will come through that, you know, on a continuous flow through that hole, isn't it? In such a way, Shastram tells us that our thought should go towards the soul. Only then it is possible. That similarly, our meditation on Krishna and Krishna's instructions should go that way. Saying this, Krishna says that this is the topic I have instructed to the four Kumaras. Krishna said like this. Machishya Sanagadivi. I have instruction to the four Kumaras like this. And Sanaga, the four Kumaras have taken instructions from Krishna directly. As you know, I have instructed this yoga system to them. At that time, Uddhava asked this question, when did you instruct them? When did you instruct them? And this is certain interesting things in Krishna's time in this world. You will notice, when Krishna spoke to Arjuna, Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna also asked the same question to Krishna, isn't it? You are telling me, Arjuna had a doubt that Krishna's, this is the difference between Arjuna and Uddhava. When Arjuna was instructed Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Imam vivasvade yogam proktavanaham avyayam vaivasvan manuve praha manu ichaguve bravid. He says, I have instructed this yoga system to Vaivasvan. Shraddhadeva Vaivasvamanu. And then Vaivasvan instructed to Manu, and Manu to Ikshvaku, this knowledge. Krishna said this in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Immediate question from Arjuna was, when did you do that? I know your date of birth. You are a little few months elder to me. This is an important thing in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. If you don't understand these things in its subtle side, then it will remain as a confusion forever. Try to understand this. Arjuna asked this question to Krishna. When did you instruct, I can't believe this, what you are talking to me, that you instructed this sun god. He says, sun god. Sun god exists at least about 40-50 million years, according to the understanding. Krishna also says some 40 million years ago in the Bhagavad Gita. And you are telling me that you have instructed, do you expect me to believe that, he says. This was Arjuna's question, isn't it? Vaivasvan instructed to Manu, Manu to Ikshvaku. So, but did you notice that Uddhava had no doubt? Arjuna had doubt. Uddhava didn't ask like that. Uddhava's question, when did you instruct this? That's all I wanted. In the tone is important. Arjuna was trying to find out, is that genuine or not? Uddhava is not asking the genuineness of that. Uddhava is asking, when did this happen? How did this happen? That's what he wanted to find out. In other words, in what situation did you instruct this to the four Kumaras? There's a big difference there. I don't know whether you get that. Because Uddhava is not doubting that Krishna has instructed this. The doubt was not there. Uddhava, for Uddhava, Krishna is our Yogeshwareshwara. He started the conversation like that, isn't it? What did he say? The first words is Yogeshwareshwara. That's how he is addressing. Yogesha, Yoga Samhava, Yogalma. So many things he said at that point, isn't it? About Yogeshwara. So there is no doubt in Uddhava's mind that Krishna has spoken. But he wanted to know, when did this happen? And what circumstances this happened? That's the difference between Uddhava and Arjuna. Whereas Arjuna's question was, you are telling me you have given this to sun god. So, how can I believe that? Arjuna is asking. Krishna says this, that I have instructed to Vivasvan to Manu. Arjuna is asking, how can that happen? You are born only few months before me. Which is fair enough, by age, only a few months difference between Krishna and Arjuna. And you are telling me you have instructed to sun, you are instructed to moon and everybody, all these things. How can I believe that? How can I believe that? Jesus Christ also said, I have instructed this to Abraham. If you look in the Bible, you will see this. I instructed to Abraham. So, one disciple asked Jesus Christ, how can we believe this, that you have instructed this to Abraham? Abraham was born long before you. Much before you. And you are born now. The same similarity you will see in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Bible. Many things like this. I told you also, the Upanishad's knowledge has gone into Bible in a very large scale. Only thing, it was presented according to the place and circumstances where it was spoken. But the message has no change at all. Absolutely the same thing. So the same thing happened there also. How did this happen? So Christ says that I existed even before Abraham. I existed before Abraham. He says there. Now, here the question is, if they were all speaking, Krishna, Jesus Christ, all were speaking from their bodily platform, this cannot be true, isn't it? This cannot be true. If they were sitting in their body and they were talking this, they were instructing this, it cannot be accepted. It cannot be accepted. So many great souls have spoken like this. But what normally happens is that when we follow them personal becomes a Vaishnavas or Christians or anything like that, we become more closer to the, on a bodily level, we start following them, not realizing from the spiritual platform they spoke these things. They spoke these things from a spiritual platform. Because they were in the spiritual, they are instructing and they are giving these instructions to us totally from a spiritual platform. And if we are situated in the bodily platform and we are hearing this. So from a bodily platform, if you receive spiritual instructions, we will have all these kind of doubts occurring to us. And that's the only solution to that is that we have to come to understand that spiritual platform is on a different platform. There we have to, on a peculiar state, only then this can be understood. Then when they are speaking to us from their bodily platform and we start identifying them as though they are an individual in that particular body. We identify them with that body, isn't it? And but on the other hand, they are speaking to us completely situated on the spiritual platform which is all-pervading and which is present in everyone. They have gone to that platform, from there they are talking to us. Akhandam it is called, isn't it? It is unbreakable, that thing, continuous it is. And it is that thing, that spiritual consciousness, completely situated on the Brahman platform, they are speaking to us from that platform. When they are speaking to us from that platform and we receive it from this bodily platform, we get perplexed. That's what is happening. So, what has happened to Arjuna happens to us also. Therefore, then we start questioning the scripture. How can this all be true? These are all some fabricated stories. And then the scientists help us to do some research into it. And then the philosophers or the people who are doing research into Bhagavad Gita, they will say there is this mistakes in the Bhagavad Gita which we cannot go along with. How, what can you do about this? There's no medicine for this. Because you see the problem when you study scripture. Shastram, when you study, if you are not in that particular platform, everything we hear will go in a different direction. All misunderstanding will develop. We'll say Bhagavad Gita, most of it is correct, but there are some things in there which we can't take it on board. So they are speaking to us. From a different plane altogether, and that is the platform of the soul. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Vasudeva will say about this. He says that surrender unto me. He's talking to us. Means he surrender unto that truth which he is talking about us. That I have instructed this to the sages in the past. Kapila Maharshi is saying like this. So if you start taking this, Kapila Maharshi also in the same way, like we talk about Krishna or Jesus in that way, that he has instructed, how can he instruct all the other sages who appeared much before him? Then it is like that. Suppose, to give you an example, then suppose one who is a good artist, who can draw pictures, you draw a picture that Krishna is instructing the four Kumaras. They will draw a picture of four Kumaras and a picture of Krishna. So immediately we'll take it on that level, Krishna's instructions. Krishna went there as a person, instructed to four people there who are standing there in front of him. But Krishna is speaking to us completely as the absolute truth. He's talking to us. All this Ekadasha Skandam is coming from that, flowing from that realized state. It's a flow from that realized state that knowledge is flowing down through Krishna's words. It's coming through. Now, instead of accepting that, if you identify that, Krishna has spoken like this, and this knowledge is not new thing. It is something that existed in the past. That knowledge is always existing. And from there the knowledge is trickling through and Krishna is talking to us. So, as a complete substance, Krishna is presenting to us, and completely as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, complete controller, he is talking to us. This realized state he is talking to us. At that time, కృష్ణ ఉద్ధవ ఇస్ ఆస్కింగ్ దిస్ క్వశ్చన్, యథాత్వం సనగాదిభ్యో ఏన రూపేణ కేశవ యోగం ఆదిష్టవానేతు ధ్రువమిచ్చామి వేదితం. ఉద్ధవాస్ క్వశ్చన్ ఇస్ వెరీ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్. ఇన్ విచ్ ఫార్మ్ హ్యావ్ యూ ఇన్స్ట్రక్టెడ్ దిస్ నాలెడ్జ్? యు సీ, ఉద్ధవ సీన్ త్రూ దాట్. ఉద్ధవ అండర్స్టూడ్ దాట్ ఇట్ వాస్ నాట్ దిస్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ స్టాండింగ్ రైట్ ఇన్ ఫ్రంట్ ఆఫ్ మీ వాస్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్టింగ్ ఇన్ దాట్ ఫార్మ్ టు దెమ్. So that's why he asked this question, in which form did you instruct him? Otherwise that question doesn't arise. If Uddhava understood, because he is on a spiritual platform, he could immediately understand that, that from that truth, truth is coming down through great, great personalities all the time to this world, isn't it? All great souls bring that truth and distribute it here and they go back, they go away. The truth is always remaining. Satyasya dev. The satyam is always same. Absolute truth it's called, isn't it? So that's why Uddhava asked that question, that please tell me, how could this happen? Yadatvam sanagadibhyo yena rubena keshava. In which form did you instruct them? Yoga vadisht, and how did you instruct this? And what did you instruct? And what is the nature of that, what you have instructed? Yogam ichami, rubam ichami. The Uddhava's words are very selective. First thing he's asking, yena rubena keshava, in which form Krishna did you instruct that knowledge to them? Yogam adishtavaneda rupam ichami veditam, and what is the yoga system you have instructed? How did you instruct? What did you instruct? And what is the nature of that yoga system? And in answer to that, Krishna is saying there, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, putra hiranyagarbhasya manasa sanagadayaha పప్రచో పితరం సూక్ష్మం యోగస్యైకాంతికీం గతిం. సీ, కృష్ణ హింసెల్ఫ్ సేస్ పప్రచో పితరం సూక్ష్మం. సూక్ష్మం మీన్స్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ సటిల్ థింగ్, డిఫికల్ట్ టు నో, డిఫికల్ట్ టు పప్రచో ఆస్ దిస్ క్వశ్చన్. ఈ సేస్ కృష్ణ సేస్ దట్ బ్రహ్మస్ చిల్డ్రన్, హిరణ్య గర్భ ఈస్ బ్రహ్మ, హిరణ్య గర్భాస్ మానసా సనగాదయ, Sanagadi, Sanaga, Sanaga, Sananda, Sanadana, Sanat Kumara, the four Kumaras, they are called Manasaputras. Manasaputra, because they were born from the mind. They didn't take birth like we all did. They were born from the mind. They are called Manasaputras. Putraga, Manasa, Sanagadaya, Paprachu. They asked this question, Pitaram, to their father, Sushmam, Yoga, Saigandigim, Gidim. About this yoga system, which is extremely subtle to understand. Extremely subtle to understand. They ask this question. Sanagade Uchu. Sanagade, four Kumaras have asked this question. Putran Putra Hiranyagarbhasya Manasa Sanagadeyaha Paprachu Pidaram Sushmam Yoga Saigandigim Gati. This is the question they have, Krishna is saying there. So these four Kumaras, Sanaga, Sananda, Sanadana, Sanat Kumara. Now, this is bringing a lot of interesting things to think about. Now, we have got our evolution theory, isn't it? Darwin's theory of evolution, isn't it? So, science is saying here, and it is taught at the schools also, that according to Darwin, we had our ancestors were all? Yeah. We were monkeys, and they were all, and they kept on progressing. And today we are in the perfect stage of human body with the perfection in everything, isn't it? And he has a reason to say that. Don't get him wrong. He has, because he saw that a lot of them were fighting with the stones and throwing stones at each other, killing each other. And you know how it is presented in the history, modern history, isn't it? And they call them as the cavemen. And they had what kind of weapons they developed, spears and swords and everything. First with the stones, and they moved a little better when they found out metal. They started manufacturing, not in the factory, but through the blacksmith and all others, the different kinds of weapons they manufactured. Now, according to Darwin, now we are manufacturing trident and very sophisticated weapons, and we became most advanced. When we started making the same weapons, what they did and used the weapon, they were very primitive. Now as it progressed and further, and we reached that state that we can kill somebody from another planet, going there and standing there and kill everybody here. That is most developed state, isn't it? That's how we studied in the schools and colleges about that. But All the history, if you look back, it's all the history of this fighting. Nothing else. That's all what we learned from there. So when he looked at his own parampara, he found that this is what has happened. So can you blame him for that? This is, parampara has taught him like, it's all in the parampara, nothing new. The parampara has taught him like that. So he decided that, he understood that, he must have thought like this, that all these things cannot have come from something good. Cannot have come something from good. So according to him, he says there, that we improved and got into this better situation. Better situation. Vedas are saying exactly opposite to this. Vedas are concerned, from perfection came imperfection. From imperfection, perfection can never come. If you understand that principle correctly, you will be surprised that everything what we are studying is all false. Only from perfection, imperfection can happen. From imperfection, perfection cannot happen. From Purnatvam, Apurnatvam can happen. But from Apurnatvam, Purnatvam cannot happen. Exactly like in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna opened with the same principle. Nasade vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sada, ubhayorabhi drishtvandam stanayor tattva darshibhi. Krishna's point is so strong, sound and logical. Krishna is saying, what is truth will remain as a truth, sat, that is sat. You cannot destroy it, because it is sat, by nature it is sat. And what is asat, you cannot give eternity to that. Asat will never become sat. Asat will always remain as asat. Sat will remain as sat. It can. In the Bhagavad Gita Krishna has spoken, here also you can see that this theory that has developed, that we have become in human body as a perfect living entity, starting from the other animal stage or whatever other what we have gone through, and we have come to this stage, is the greatest blunder what we have understood, we have learned in this life. The four Kumaras were the first creation from Lord Brahma. And these Kumaras were perfect in spiritual knowledge. And it is from there, little by little, Rajogunam, Tamogunam developed, and all the other living entities took birth afterwards. If you know about the history of the Kumaras, when they were born, this is the background of this 13th chapter. When they were born, Brahma asked them to engage in creation process. Kumara's reply was, no, we are not engaging in creation process. Why? Because of that sattvagunam, predominance inside and the knowledge inside. Because, and this is why Brahma could not answer that question when they raised this question. Because Kumaras were on a higher level. And Brahma, due to karmam, engaging in karmam, it says in the Bhagavadam, this is the result of karmam. Karmam will bind a person and Rajogunam will develop inside. So those who are advocating the process of karmam, they should think, is this what is going to happen at the end? If it can happen to Brahma by engaging in karmam and developing Rajogunam through that for a second when Kumaras asked the question, Brahma could not answer the question. That's what has happened to him, happened to Lord Brahma. Although he was the father, but Brahmo, these four Kumara, Sanaka, Sananda, Sanadana and Sanat Kumara, that they are saying that they were so perfect in their spiritual knowledge that the doubts that had come to them is also of that category. Do you know what I'm saying? That their doubts is not from this modern world. Our doubts and their doubts are a lot of difference between their doubts and our doubts. Our doubts full of Rajogunam and Samogunam. Their doubt in such extreme sattvagunam, they had questions to ask. And Krishna is answering those questions. Now the sad thing is, if Darwin says something, we will accept. If Vedavyasa Maharshi says something, we will reject. What to do? This is the problem. If Darwin says something, we are willing to accept that. But Vedavyasa Maharshi says something, we say, oh, that's all mythology. How can we accept that? But Darwin says, yeah, it is wonderful, it's correct. So what to do now? What can you do about this? This is the problem. People should read this Ekadasha Skandam and think about this. Krishna is saying this to us, that Krishna is saying to understand even what I am saying, you have to be in Satugunam first. Otherwise, you won't even understand this. So where is the question of, but whereas those who are followers of Darwin and those who are justifying it, they are in the lower modes of nature. So naturally, they won't understand this, what Vedavyasa is saying to them. So Vedavyasa is saying to us that first creation was all enlightened beings. They were enlightened, fully enlightened people. That is, these four Kumaras were fully enlightened. And from there, in due course of time, degradation happened. And with the result of that, human society has come to this stage, what we are today. Most degraded state. Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying this to us. Darwin Maharshi is telling us that initially everything was the lowest. From there, the perfect us, what we are today, have come. So if we don't make this clear judgment right then, all your so-called study of Shastram will go waste. Will go waste. Either we follow Vedavyas or you follow Darwin. You have only this option. Vedavyas is telling us that the first created beings, the four Kumaras, born from Brahma's mind, Manasaputras they are referred to, Sanaga, Sanandana, Sanavan, Sankumar. If you know about them, Chandokya Upanishad is all about them. The Bhumavidya, everything, they talk about it. In the 87th chapter, in the 10th canto, Shruti Gita, personified Veda's glorification. Who is speaking? Sanakumara Maharshi is speaking to Narayana Maharshi. So, such great souls, great, great personalities, don't know how to glorify them. They are so great. They were the first created beings and they were perfect. And from then, imperfection kept on coming later on. And as creation progressed, more and more imperfect living entities came out. And today, in this 2010, we are all sitting here thinking ourselves to be the perfect created beings in this creation, isn't it? So that's what it is saying. The samskaram or the consciousness has become degraded. You can look at ourselves and see, has we improved spiritually or is our state of consciousness or thoughts is on a higher level or on a lower level today? So much absorbed in the body, so much absorbed in the sense gratification and falsely claiming that we are advanced people. What right have we got to claim that? Is it so difficult to understand? When Vedavyasa Maharshi and so many great sages, they threw away all material happiness and went into the forest inquiring after the truth. And when they found the truth and they spoke to us, we are telling them, you are barbarians, lived in the forest, didn't know how to live in a civilized way like us. This is what we are spitting at their face. That's what we are doing by our attitude in life. So the thing is this, that time is going. So, this will carry on like this, and once it so happened that from pure state, impure state happens. Impure state, you cannot become pure. That's not possible. Krishna's instruction is like that. He says, pure consciousness gets polluted and becomes impure. Then, so, the thing is this, that importance of this is, when we talk about the four Kumaras, if you don't mention that, it is not correct. So in material nature also, if you look, it is like that. Something happens first in the pure form, and then it gets degraded and contaminated, and it gets degenerated and disappears from this world sometimes. But important thing is, from pure state, impure state happens later. Impure state, pure state will not happen. It is not possible. It is not possible, because if you look into the history, you will notice this, that you can claim so many things. That's another thing. But if you look into the spiritual consciousness of those who lived a spiritual life in this world and who took complete advantage of human life and made their life perfect, and those personalities, what did they do first thing? They made their material life as simple as possible. As simple as possible. And we made as complicated it as possible, as complicated as possible, and then crying, oh, I have no time for anything. I have no time for spiritual realization. I have no time for chanting the holy name. I have no time for reading Bhagavatam. How we will have time? Because we don't want to follow them. We want on our terms everything, spiritual life also. So that's not going to happen. That is what this chapter is talking to us directly. So many things, we'll look at that on next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai. 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 Jai.